Good morning. Thank you guys all for joining us. This is Matt Kuhn. I'm the National Sales Director with Pacesetter Advantage. Thank you guys for being on here with us and taking time on your Friday morning. We've got a good mix of experienced agents and looks like rookies that haven't sold a thing yet, a couple that haven't even been licensed yet, and some very experienced agents on here. So should be a good call. We got a lot of guys that can share information. So I've talked with a handful of you this week while you're out in the field, and it sounds like most people are off to a good start as far as the year goes. It's hard to believe that we blew through January already and we're in the second month, but sounds like most people are pleased where they're at going forward. I've got a few things on my list to cover this morning, and then obviously, just like all of our calls, it's an open forum. If there's anything that you want to cover, anything you got questions on, anything you want to share, please don't ever hesitate to bring that up. There will be points when I'll mute everybody if there's background noise going on or anything like that, but not that I'm trying to shut you up. Unmute yourself at any time and contribute. Our calls are always a lot more informative when we have more people contributing information and helping out and throwing ideas around. So don't ever think that I'm trying to shut you up if you see you got muted all of a sudden. It's just to try to limit the background noise. One thing that I wanted to kind of announce to everybody is that we had picked up a new guaranteed issue carrier that we'll be getting contracting out to if you're interested in it. That's a new product with AIG. It's been around for probably six months since they launched it. Just give us another guaranteed issue option. In general, it pays a little bit better than the Gerber product does. It's real similar to the Gerber in the policy and the rate. So it's guaranteed issue, 2 years ROP, up to 25,000. Rates are real similar to Gerber's, might be a buck or two higher in some cases. It'll do debit cards or direct express cards for us also. A few things that kind of different from Gerber and what I think could be really good selling tools is kind of odd for a guaranteed issue product, but they have a chronic illness rider with it. It's automatically included, no charge, to where the insured can access up to 50% of the death benefit if they're diagnosed with one of the qualifying chronic illnesses. That I have not seen yet. I don't have a sample policy in front of me yet, so I can't see what all those chronic illnesses are. But the fact that they have anything like that on a guaranteed issue product is very unique. And then they also have a terminal illness rider. If the insured's diagnosed with a terminal illness, they can access up to 50% of the benefit. And I have looked a little bit more into that because it sounds kind of difficult or risky to do with a guaranteed issue product. And how they do that is it's limited by what the premiums have paid in. So still something I think is going to be very helpful if you're sitting at the table trying to make a sale. If you have somebody that's fallen into a guaranteed issue type category, if you can mention those two things and the possibility of those maybe being a benefit to them down the road, it can be helpful. They also have a paper app or an e-app on that. You'll be able to do either one of them. So, and that's going to be available in almost all states. I think Maine and New York are the two states that we won't have that in. But everybody else, it's available in all other states. So, if you have questions on that, give me a holler, at any time. And then, if you know you want to get contracted with it, just shoot Lisa an email, contracting@paysetteradvantage.com, and she'll get the contracting and commission scheduled out to you. Another thing I just wanted to kind of bring up in general is e-apps. If you haven't been using like Security National's e-app, I'm pretty convinced, not 100%, but I'm 99% convinced they got all the bugs worked out of it. I did a couple of them this past week, even did a credit card with this past week.
That one?
Something that had never been working before, and it went through fine. If you're not using that and you want to, again, they haven't quite thrown it out across the country, but if you want to start using it, give me a holler and I'll get you a link. You have your own specific web address that you'll go to submit your apps. But it's super, the Security National Life one is super simple. I mean, it's literally about 5 minutes. I mean, their paper app's simple also, but it's literally about 5 minutes. Punch all the information in. For the client signature, it's not even like a VeriSign or an eSign. It's the client, you know, you pass the iPad or whatever you're using over in front of the client and they type their name in. Hit submit and it'll come back to you with a decision on it. Has anybody like with used that this week and had problems with it? Okay. If you do have problems with it, if you use one and it doesn't go through, drop me a text or shoot me an email, just so we know. Because like I said, I think it's working pretty smooth now. But if anybody else has evidence otherwise, I definitely want to know because I don't want to be sending people down that path if there's still issues with it.
Hey, Matt.
But it's really simple to use. You hit submit and it's usually about 30, 45 seconds. It'll come back and it'll tell you approved as preferred, approved as graded, or declined. And so it's a nice process. And, you know, I mean, with almost all of our carriers right now, there's just very few instances where you should ever leave a house and not have 100% approval of knowing what's going on or something going in and getting kicked back or declined or whatever. You know, with most of our carriers, we have an option to get those answers while we're in the house, which is huge. I mean, for you guys that have been around a while compared to what we used to have to do to, you know, throw it in and hope that it gets issued or approved and then have to deal with all the follow-ups when we get an amendment or when we get something that's declined and have to go back and write a different carrier or anything like that. It's definitely a much better process than what we used to have. And you know, even like I said, the e-apps being one, but like even if you're doing Rural Neighbors, I mean, you can get on and do it. And if there's a problem, you know, right now you can pivot and you can go to a different carrier. Something else you can always do too, you know, if you're writing a graded product and even at that you're not real sure about it, obviously one, try to do it on an e-app or a phone call so you can get approval on it and you know. I'd say one of those instances where we don't know is if you're writing like AmeriCo Ultra Protector 2, so which obviously most of you know is great for like smokers with COPD. So if you're writing that, you're not going to know, you're not going to have an answer before you leave. But the other thing you can always do is, you know, get a backup plan going while you're still there, whether that's a Security National app, whether that's a Gerber app, whether that's an AIG app, you know, you can grab signatures on that as a backup plan and just simply tell the client, you know, here's the deal. We're going to submit this AmeriCo Ultra Protector 2 because it's the absolute best product for you by far. If by chance that doesn't get issued, we're going to have this, you know, we're going to have this Gerber ready to go, or we're going to have this Security National Life graded ready to go. And here's what it'd be. I'll call you within 4 days here because we'll know and I'll tell you which one it's going to be. So that's just another option. You know, if you are working and you're, you know, away from home and you don't want to have to go back and write a secondary product, if that gets turned down, you can get plan B, you know, in your pocket and hold on to that in case there is an issue. You'll have something else ready to go already. So, does anybody have any questions about that? Anything they want to add?
Hey, Matt.
Oh, hello?
Matt, can you hear me?
I barely can. I don't know if I need to turn my volume up or if you're kind of muffled. Is that Ryan?
Yeah. Hey, I had one issue. Let's see, I did four of them this week. I had one time, I can't remember what it said, but it either timed out or said that the web app wasn't responding.
That was Security National Life?
Yeah.
Okay. So you had three go through just fine and then one that got hung up.
Yeah. I called in there and they said that they were having that, everything was moving pretty slow this week.
Okay.
I don't know if that's just a blow off, but that's what she said, but the rest of them worked fine. No, okay. They were direct express too.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Yeah. I think, last week was the first time I got the credit card on that, e-app to go through, without any problems. The one thing I will recommend if you're doing an e-app, Security National Life or the American Eagle or whatever it is, you know, when you get to the end there, there's an option to print it. So go ahead and hit print on it and email yourself a copy of it so you have a record of it. Just, you know, you have that saved on your hard drive or wherever. When that client calls in with a question, you can pull it back up and look at it. I assume that most of you, when you are doing any kind of paper apps, are doing the same thing, you know, scanning a copy of it, saving it, so you always have a record of it. But, you know, if you can find some way to do that or whatever system works for you to do that with your e-apps too, that's definitely helpful as far as your record keeping goes. If you aren't doing that or you're uncomfortable with it, you want suggestions on it, give me a holler and I'll kind of let you know what I do and what works well for me as far as keeping records. And you know, I've got it set up so I can easily go back and search a zip code. If I'm going to work in a certain zip code, I can pull up all my apps that I wrote in that zip code in the past, you know, 12 years and look at policyholders if I want to go revisit with them and whoever that is. So, that in and of itself can be a separate conference call, talking about going back and, you know, visiting with your existing clients and business that you can generate from additional sales to them and referrals and everything else. So we'll definitely have that on the list down the road. Anybody else have any experiences or anything they want to share on the e-apps or problems, I guess I should say? Okay. But I mean, it seems like that between the e-apps, the voice apps, like the Roll Neighbors voice signature process that they said you should be able to 99% of the time walk out of that house knowing for sure that you're approved and what's going on. It seems like the Roll Neighbors phone call keeps getting a little bit better. I think I had a husband and wife where I put two of them on one call through this week, and it was like 30 minutes for two apps, which is not bad at all. I mean, averaging 15 minutes an app. So what's everybody else's experience has been with the Roll Neighbors voice signature as far as the time that it takes? Mr. Stoley, how long are your calls taking?
I'm sorry, Matt. I was doing some paperwork. What was the question?
I wanted to see what your experiences have been as of late on the duration of your Roll Neighbors calls.
One of them are, I think, a little bit longer, you know, Matt, because I mean, this week, for instance, a lot of them, the phone calls have been asking for the prescriptions, which last week I didn't get any of them asked for on my prescriptions. So it's kind of a give and take, you know?
Yeah. What do you think? So even the ones that you think are a little bit longer, how long are those taking you? Are they less than 20 minutes still or?
Yeah. Less than 20 minutes.
Okay. Which is an improvement. I mean, 6 months ago, 20 minutes was a good call. I mean, that was, you know, that was, we were happy if we could get it done then. So some of the stuff still boggles my mind. I mean, how they have to ask somebody that has no coverage if they'll be replacing their non-coverage,
right.
Which just seems like eliminate that. But I know it's all the cover your ass for them, trying to make sure they cross their T's and dot their I's. So. But all in all, you know, when you look at the fact that there's no paperwork to be turned in at the end of that, then that call's well worth your time and getting an answer and being done with it. Anybody else, last thing on that, as far as new business processes with any of the carriers, actually?
Hey, Matt, this is Mike Mazza.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning. No, in my brief experience with the e-app, I'm liking it a lot. Scanning apps, uploading, SNL said to me, the quality of the scan wasn't good enough, rescan it, and, that's the next day. So I am loving e-app, and the fact that AIG has a e-app, that sounds good to me. One question, I actually read about that AIG guaranteed product a few months ago, and I think there was something quirky with the chargebacks on commissions. Do you know anything about that?
I do, because they actually made a change on it. What they originally launched, there was a lot of backlash, and they responded and made a change on it. What they originally launched is that they were charging back all your commissions for anything that lapsed. So not talking death, but talking lapse in the first year. And then nobody liked that. Everybody thought that was a bunch of BS, so they came back on that. They didn't. It's still a little bit different. So what it is now, if anything lapses in the first 6 months, they charge back 25% of the commission that was paid on it. So there is still a little bit of lapse chargeback risk there. But one, the percentage is only 25%, and two, it's the first 6 months. So when you look at that, that's not going to be real different than anything that we looked at. It's the percentages at 25%. So, in most cases, we're going to be able to make up for that or come out on the top end of that with getting paid better than we do on the Gerber product. So, so it is still a little bit different. The chargeback for deaths is still identical to Gerber, which is death in the first year, 100% chargeback, death in the second year, 50% of the commissions paid is chargeback. So that's the same as the Gerber product is.
Great. And what's the, who do I email, Matt, to for contracting?
You can email me or Lisa, either one.
Okay.
We'll get it out to you.
Great.
All right. Well, something else that I kind of wanted to go over, which I think will be helpful to everybody, but even more so to the newer agents that are on here, is being put off by a client. The BBACs, I need to talk to my daughter. Oh, I really want to do this, but I got to talk to my daughter first. Give me a call next week. Or, we got to do that, but you need to come see me next week. Or, whatever it is. And we're talking not in the point of trying to get to a sit or schedule an appointment, but after a presentation has been made. And I talked with Greg a little bit about that this week. And he had said that he had kind of had a little bit of a formula that worked for him on who he was going to follow up and who he wasn't going to follow up with. And it's, honest to God, there's just a whole lot of feel, and all you guys that have been doing this for a while know that, the odds are, if you're not getting it done right now, you're not getting it done. But all of us have some kind of threshold on who we are going to follow up with, or what reasons make us think that this is worth following up with this person, even though I couldn't get it done today. And it's, like I said, it's definitely an experience thing that as you get going, you start to get a feel for, who's pulling your leg and putting you off, and who generally, genuinely has interest, and there's a chance of you getting something done down the road. So, Greg, are you on here?
Yes, I am.
All right. So you and I had that conversation a little bit, earlier in the week, and you said you'd had some luck. I guess, first of all, what is it exactly that you're using to determine that, this person is a dead end road and I'm not going to call them back, or yeah, this is worth going back and following up on?
A lot of it, I think a lot of it is during the presentation Cena for giving me buying signals. Yet they can't commit, and because of wanting to talk to the daughter or son, or they want to think about it, or whatever their smoke screen is. And sometimes it's a lot of BS. And I believe a lot of it, though, Matt's going to come with experience, because one of the things that I vowed to do in 2017 is be more efficient. Because early on in my career, I was chasing everything. But I found with this type of business, you can't chase everything. You have to be more efficient, and you have to understand, because the people who I see for the second time, since this is typically a one-call close business, I close about 70 to 80% of the people I see the second time. And I usually see them no more than a week, maybe 10 days later. If longer than that, I usually trash the lead card, and I never call again. They have my business card. They're interested. They'll call me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess just to preface that a little bit, you know, when you're selling that high of a percentage of your second calls, that obviously, I mean, that leads me to believe that you're just doing an extremely good job of deciding who you are and aren't going to follow up with. You know, so you're obviously, like you said, you're not following up with everybody that you can't make a sale on, but just vetting those that you think there's still a possibility and there's a genuine reason that you should actually call them back.
Here's another part of it, Matt. Some of you guys out there, and I don't know where you guys live, but where I live in a city of about 375,000, and then there are little towns spread around here about 20 to 45 minutes away. But you guys might be driving an hour and a half, 2 hours. If I drove that long, if I'm not one call close to them, I'm not going to follow. I typically wouldn't follow up with them again, because it's just way too far out of reach, and it doesn't make financial sense to follow up a second time. If I can't close them the first time, I'm not sure if I can close them the second time.
Yeah.
So I always take that into consideration. Travel's a big consideration.
Absolutely. And I guess a couple other things that I'd like to add to that is, you know, if you're going to do any kind of follow-up, it better be in person. You know, I better be knocking on their door and getting in front of them again. I feel strongly that, you know, if you, with your experience, with your sales ability that you have, if you're sitting in front of this person and can't get them to sign on the dotted line, well, you calling them next week and trying to, you know, hash it out on the phone is not going to have good results. You know, if you couldn't get it done in person, your odds are going to be way lower even trying to come back and get it done again on the phone. And that's kind of what I tell my clients too. Obviously there's some that sell me on the fact that I need to follow up with them. But in general, usually if it's, well, you know, yeah, we're going to do this next month, or yeah, we need to talk to kids, or yeah, just not today or whatever, it's, you know, leave my card and, well, here it is. You have my number. I'm not going to call you. You know, you let me know how we can help you out. You know how to get in touch with me. And I would say that's probably 75 to 80% of the ones that don't end in a close. That's what it is right there. And then there's the others that sell me on the fact that they have a valid reason to come back by. But again, if I'm going to do that, it's not a phone call saying, what'd you decide? It's dropping by. It's like, all right, well, I'm back. You said that, you know, you said you needed a week, so let's sit down and get it done. Because I know that if I couldn't get it done in person, then it's definitely not going to happen, you know, with a phone call. And that's similar to when you're setting appointments and somebody says, well, call me first. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to be there between 1 and 2 tomorrow. Oh, well, you have to call me first. I'm not calling you first. You know, all that does is gives you 24 hours to think of a better excuse so that when I call, you can tell me you're not going to be there. So I'm going to be over there between 1 and 2. I'm not calling first. Are you going to be there? Because if you are, I'll stop by and get this to you. And if you can't, if you're wishy-washy and call me first and I might be there, I might not, then you're not interested. So, and, you know, kind of staying on this topic of who to follow up on and, you know, when is a lead dead and all that, it's kind of a catch 22, you know, when I work with new agents, because that's a horrible trap to fall into as a new agent, it's a very easy trap to fall into as a new agent. You know, I'll visit with agents that are just out for their first week or so. You know, how did it go for you? Oh, it went great. You know, I got five people I'm calling back next week, and three of them, I'm sure they're going to buy, and the other two know she's going to do it, but you know, they got to talk to their kids first, and it's a very slippery slope as a new agent to start buying in to, you don't have that experience, you don't have that highly refined bullshit meter yet, so it's a pretty tough thing to fall into. So I always try to give agents, you know, very, very good warning on not falling into it. But then on the other hand, if you're starting out and you're only on 15 leads a week or 20 leads a week, and you have that time in your schedule, well then, you know, swinging back by and knocking again is better than sitting at home doing nothing. I mean, we know what you're going to get sitting at home doing nothing. Your chances of making a sale are unequivocally zero. And so, you know, you're better off to be out and be doing something and getting in front of somebody. But I think I've said it before too, if you find yourself that you have a lot of time, that you can do a lot of that, then you're just simply not working enough leads. So if you're working 15 leads a week and you got all this time to follow up and everything else, then just up your lead flow, you know, get more fresh prospects to get in front of, to where you can have a reasonable opportunity to sit down and make a presentation rather than run yourself ragged trying to follow up on a bunch of leads that you've already presented to, or, you know, you spent 2 weeks and couldn't find them or anything like that. So that's definitely something to keep into account. And any of you that aren't on a steady, regular lead flow, and I say that with most intention towards direct mail, but, you know, if you're on any other kind of regular lead flow, whether it's telemarketing leads or internet leads or avatar leads or whatever it is, I mean, that's all right too. But I mean, I can tell you, you know, we look at our monthly production stats every month, and it's just like it's not a fine line between people that are on regular lead flow and not. I mean, it's a great divide. You know, the guys that are on a regular lead flow, the guys that are on the fixed cost direct mail program are killing it. I mean, they're all writing, you know, depending on how many leads they're on, but they're writing anywhere from, you know, 8,000 a month to 25,000 a month. And the guys that aren't on a regular lead flow and are just kind of trying to piece it together are the ones that are usually struggling, saying, I don't know if this is for me and I can't make enough money and everything else. So if you don't have some plan wise for regular leads coming in every week, then that's the direction you got to look. So,
hey Matt, I have a question for you.
Yep.
Of the people on this call here, are there people on this call that are at 15 leads a week?
I can't tell you that for sure because I can't see everybody's names. I've got some names, depending on how they logged in, some just phone numbers, and I don't recognize phone numbers off the top of my head. There could be. I mean, we've got a handful of people that are at 15 a week. I can't tell you if they're on here or not, though. Is anybody on here that's doing 15 a week? Okay. No, at least not ones that want to speak up.
No, I'm sorry. Matt, did you say less than 15 leads a week?
I think Greg said 15. Are you doing about 15 right now, Mike?
No, not yet. Not yet. I am not. So, yes, speak to me.
Okay, so the point I'm trying to make, I learned this early on when I used to be with the John Hancock Business Planning Group. And the number one thing is it may hurt at first, but only shortly. You have to invest in your business, and you have to. If you don't, you can't just put a building up, put a sign up, and say, come and see me. Nobody's going to come and see you. You got to invest in your business, and you got to spend money to make money. And at first, it's really tough, but once you do, the money starts flowing in. Within 4, 5, 6 weeks, I mean, it all comes back to you 3 or 4 or 5-fold. So don't hesitate on upping your lead count for capital purposes.
I appreciate that. I'm sorry. What was your first name?
My name's Greg.
Greg, I'm Mike. I do appreciate that advice, and I guess I'm trying to put one foot in at a time. I think the process is working because and I've been a financial advisor, just so you know, for 15 years. I'm used to working with seniors and all that, but final expense is completely different. The one, you know, the one the one visit close is completely different. So it took me like a month to, just like Matt said, yeah, I got five people to follow up on, and three said it's great, and guess what? None of them bought. So I had to change my mindset. I just didn't want to burn through a lot of capital during that initial learning process.
Okay. Now, just like you, I was a financial advisor. I was a fee-based financial advisor as well at one time.
Cool.
So there was a big transition for me as well.
I hear you. And Greg, how long you been marketing Final Expense?
February of last year.
All right. Not that long, so about a year, right?
Yeah.
Excellent. Love to shoot you an email sometime and just bounce things back and forth, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. We can talk on the side.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for that, Greg. I appreciate it. Just because I think some of you guys get sick of hearing me all the time, so it's definitely helpful for you guys to hear even some of the same things, but you're hearing from different people that are out there doing it also. But that's always a constant battle. You know, when somebody gets started, it's always tough to look at that lead bill and you say, those leads are going to cost me how much? I mean, it is. But I was actually talking with another guy yesterday. He's a full-time firefighter. Well, you know, as a firefighter, full-time means like either 2 or 3 days a week, depending on how your schedule calls. Well, he sells for us on his other days. So he's only on 15 leads a week because his schedule is limited and it's his side job. It's his additional job. But, you know, I was talking with him about up in his lead flow, you know, as long as the time is there. And, you know, kind of the discussion that we had when we looked at is, all right, you're on 15 leads a week right now. It's costing you about $450 a week. So essentially what you're doing when you go out, your first sale covers your leads. So you're profiting after your first sale. So, you know, if we're saying you're closing somewhere around 20, you know, 25%, let's say you're writing 4 apps a week off of your 15 leads. So your first sale covers your leads. Your next 3 sales are your profit. That's where it is. So even when you up your leads, so say, and I just compared it to myself, I said, okay, you're working 15 leads a week, I'm working 30. So when I do 30 a week, my first 2 sales have to cover, again, looking at average premiums, things like that, but first 2 sales have to cover it, the lead cost. But then the next 6 sales are profit. So, I mean, because it definitely carries over. If you're making the profit, if you're closing what you need to and you're profitable on 15, then, you know, it's all going to be that it's going to carry over. You're going to keep closing just as many at 20 and 25 as you are. It's the only thing that's going to change is your profit's going to go up, your net profit. But a lot of it comes down to just time too and getting efficient in what you do. You know, when we talk about increasing your lead flow. But you know, if you find yourself, you've ran through your 15 or your 20 or whatever it is, you know, you start Monday morning and by Tuesday afternoon, you pretty well got it combed through, or, you know, Wednesday morning or whatever, you know, if you could add another 5 leads into that or another 10 leads into that and work, you know, one more day or whatever it is, like I said, the profit margin is going to be there. You're going to be just as profitable on those additional leads as you were on the first ones. And I say that to anybody that's sitting around saying, I need to make more money, because I think that's probably the category that 90% of agents fall in. There's very few agents that are sitting around saying, I'm good, I'm making plenty, I don't want to make any more money. I mean, usually I say, I'd sure like to make another $50,000 a year, but then they don't want to take the step or make the investment to invest in those extra leads that it would take to do that. Just something to keep in mind if you're looking to increase your productivity as this year moves forward. So, anybody else have anything they want to add on to that, want to contribute to that? And we kind of got sidetracked on there too, Greg, from what we were originally going into. But you were talking about your follow-up. So somebody's convinced you, sold you on the fact that you need to follow up with them. How exactly do you approach that when you go back to follow up with them? Or do you go with a simple, all right, I'm back, I'm here, it's time to get this done now? Or what's your approach when you do follow up with somebody?
My approach is I typically put it on them, saying, last time we spoke, you asked me to give you a call back. You wanted to put this together, but it wasn't just the right timing. I'll say whatever I have to say to make sure I put it on them, and they say, and I typically use the words, that's right, isn't it? To put that in their head, and they say, yeah, that's right. So yeah, let's get together. Let's do this. I always try to cement that in their head that they made the suggestion and not me. And typically 8 out of 10 will sign.
Yeah. Okay. But you do feel like you're having a lot of success on those ones that have convinced you to come back to them?
Yes, but every now and then, sometimes the buying signals are there, but the BS is still there as well. So really it takes to watch their body language and watch how they talk to you, because a lot of them, I always try to find out also, who have you talked to? Like in my presentation, I want to find out someone from Lincoln Heritage. I want to know if AARP or Globe Life or Colonial Penn or some other bankers or somebody else has been ahead of me and they've already heard this pitch before. I try to weed out a lot of that stuff early on to find out what they really do know about this or they don't know about this. But I also want to let them know that I care about their situation, because most people don't care what I know. They just want to know that I care about their situation. And once they learn that, then they say, okay, he's on my side.
Okay, I like that. Anybody else have anything they want to add into that? Okay. Randy, I don't know if you're still listening. I was going to put you back on the spot here. You know, we had a little bit of a discussion going on our GroupMe chat that some of you are on last week, a couple weeks ago, about, you know, trying to contact those people that seem like they're impossible to contact. You've called, they won't pick up the phone. You've knocked on the door, they're never home. And Randy, you had mentioned something that you were doing. So can you, not everybody's on that GroupMe chat, can you kind of explain what that was and how your results have been with it?
What I do is bring a copy of the lead, and I'll scratch in a quick message on the lead and stapling my card to the lead to make sure that, hey, I stopped by, this regarding the letter that you sent in. Please contact me. I mean, what I heard from Greg and what I constantly talk to Matt about, it's consistency. Of getting leads and going out there every day. You never know what person you are going to stand in front of. And Greg is right, and Matt is right. Once we give the presentation to the customer, I always assume going in there that they need the product. It's like blood to me that they have to have this. And if I do not believe into the product or on a daily basis call people or get in front of people's faces or whatnot, I kind of lose my mind about this job. So, you know, it's you can have the best days. I mean, I've had some very, very good days. And like yesterday, I had 6 appointments and 0 sales. I am so fucking pissed about that, you know? So today I have 7 appointments, which is Friday, and I rarely work Fridays, but I was so fucking pissed from yesterday. I came home at 7 o'clock and made some phone calls, made 7 appointments. So, you know, you never know when you're going to have good or bad days. So I try to do everything I possibly can to change up whatever I need to add on getting business. And if that's making a copy of the application, if it's, hanging out at the house for 15, 20 minutes to get in front of somebody that they might show up, I'll do that. If I mean, on Saturday, I have two appointments that, again, like Greg, they said, hey, I can't make a decision now. And I said, what about Saturday? I said, Saturday is my official follow-up day. If you're not available for Saturday, I cannot help you. And so I made two appointments on Saturdays that are follow-ups. So with this job, and I'm getting used to it, I've been doing it just over a year, like Greg, you have to be consistent with it and getting on the phone call, getting on the phones. It's very hard for me to get on the phone, sell, have a bad day, get back on the phones, and make appointments. So I look for a lot of motivation of what I do on a day-to-day basis. And that does not include getting high or drinking. So, it's hard to keep up the motivation every week. I want to make at least $5,000 to $7,000 a week. I know I have to get or see about 20 people to do that. So to keep that up on a week-to-week basis and doing that, I'm constantly writing down my goals. And like Matt says, I talk to Matt a lot. You know, he keeps me focused on what I need to do because he's done it himself. Anyways, I know I'm kind of all over the place, but
that's good stuff. Yeah, I think everybody appreciates that. And we'll all have to go to church on Sunday because you burned our ears.
Hey, was that Randy? Was that Randy?
That's Randy. Yeah. Randy is honest.
Randy, no,
honest.
Yeah, I appreciate your being candid. What, if I may, again, this isn't maybe not the forum, but Randy, you said you saw what? Six, seven people yesterday. Nobody bought.
Yeah.
Was it no money? What do you think it was?
Fuck, man. I could be really blunt with you, and I'm a really emotional person on doing it when I do sell. Okay, the first person, I'll go over my six appointments. First person was in the sticks, way in the fucking sticks. This guy had a farm. It's a place called Tenino. So it's way out there past Thurston County in Washington. This motherfucker was prior military. He was in the Air Force during the years of 50 and 54. The house was a dump in the inside, not washed. Anyways, he was wearing long johns. Nice old guy. When I sat down with him, I was 10 or 15 minutes early, like I always try to be, and I told him about myself and whatnot. I said, hey, I seen the pictures. I said, hey, you were in the military. I was in the military. We had that bond. And then before, you know, I talked to him about, you know, I said, do you have anything in, you know, to take care of your final expenses? And he said, you know what, I do. I have some stocks and whatnot for my children. And I said, well, that's a lot of my customers do that as well, but they want to have a separate insurance policy to cover the final expenses, your burial or whatnot. So I went right into it, gave them five quotes, and, you know, you get that impression on them. And I said, okay, do you have any questions about that? I mean, I normally, you know, see people in your caliber go for the $10,000. We talked about the reasons why. And he said, you know, I'm not ready to make up my mind. I packed up my bags and I said, when you do, here's my card. You know, that's it. I knew he wasn't going to buy. Second appointment, I jammed over there and it was Olympia. I had to meet a father and son who was from fucking Pakistan at McDonald's. Well, this motherfucker did not speak English. So I was talking to his son who was retarded. Okay, he was slow. Just retarded dude, just wouldn't get, you know. So I sit down, bought him some coffee, sent into my speech, and I was talking to his son. The appointment went on for 30 or 35 minutes because he could not understand me. Left him the information, took off, okay? Sure. Third appointment, retired lady. I think she was a lesbian because her partner was there, okay? So the two ladies were sitting down, and you know, we went into it before. They had cats. I'm a cat person, whatever the fuck. Cat person or whatnot. So we got into the spiel and whatnot. And I told him, I said, do you have anything to take care of this? Because the final expense is going to help, you know, for this, for that, for that. So, you know what, Randy, I do. So they have an 8-year pay with AARP, New York Life. And I said, well, that's weird. I have never seen one. Can you get that out? Well, it took them 15 minutes to find the policy. Well, I was waiting there. They did find the policy. We went over there, found out it was for $15,000. I said, you know, most people at that time that bought it 7 years ago are looking to add to it, or maybe you're not satisfied with the policy. Well, her partner came in and chimed in and said, well, she only has 4 years to pay on this, Randy. She's paying approximately $80 for it. We talked about the pros and cons of adding off. I left my card. I got out of there. Fourth appointment. Gentlemen, I had to drive all the way 45 minutes to a city back into, not Thurston County, it's in Pierce County. And this is a guy that broke my appointment 2 days ago because he wasn't there and I called him up. Anyways, sat down to, got into the door apartment, got there 15 minutes early, sat down with him, smelled like cigarette. I almost fucking died. Anyway, so he's talking about, you know, the product, if he has any insurance or whatnot. We kind of went back and forth. Nice guy, made that fucking special bond with him and said, you do not need it. I'm going to take care of that right now. Gave him four examples. He said, I just cannot afford this, Randy. Well, we discussed it for 50 minutes. And I said, this would benefit your children, your family, your legacy, everything about it. And he said, you know what? I'm just not interested. Well, I said, that's fine. So I got up and he said, you know what? You mentioned $5,000 is $27. And I said, yes, most people start off at the bare minimum. By next year, when I see you, we can add to that. We can double up, but it's a good starting point. We're going to be able to give you a free look period for up to 30 to 45 days. So again, I'm making up your mind, you're going to get the policy. You can make up your mind, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I thought I had him. And he said, he got up and thought about it. And I was thinking in my mind, what in the fuck are you thinking about, dude? You have no insurance. 10 minutes, he went into the kitchen, made himself some coffee. And I'm looking at, I'm getting heated. I'm sweating right now. I said, I need to get to my next appointment. What is this guy going to pull? So he sits down with his coffee. He said, you know what, Randy? It's a bad idea. I'm not going to do it right now. And I said, I just want to know, what were you thinking about when you went into the kitchen? I gave you all the pros and cons about the program. You don't have any insurance, $27. And he said, you know what, Randy? I just cannot afford it. Right now, I have a budget. We talked about it for cigarette smoking. I am not going to quit. And it cost me about $50 a month. And he said, I cannot afford to do this right now. Maybe next year. Fine. Got up, left. Drove all the way back to Olympia, had an appointment. I door knocked on Monday this particular customer without a phone number. She set an appointment for today yesterday at 5 o'clock. Old lady, she's eating pizza. Anyways, I went over there. She was in the driveway pulling out, so I parked my car in front of her. And I got out of the car. It was raining, granted you, and I just kind of had my hands out. I said, Mrs. Jones, this is Randy. Do you remember my appointment? She said, no, I do not. And I just kind of, you know, went up to her door and I said, Mrs. Jones, this is Randy with the Senior Final Expense Program. Do you remember we spoke a couple of days ago? Do you remember that? And she kind of cracked open up her window and I said, oh, fuck. You know, I don't want to get to that point. So I kind of backed off and she said, I said, hey, here's my card. And she said, okay. And she just kind of put her hand out. I pulled out my car. She took off. Like a bat out of hell. That's okay.
Wow.
That's all right. I went on to my fifth appointment. Manufactured home, couple. Got there on time. Drove for like 30 or 40 minutes. During this particular meeting, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Joel Osteen. I have some discs that I listen. I just wanted to get my mind straight, so I was listening to that. So I went to my last appointment, manufactured home, it was a community of manufactured home. I said, this is good. So I pulled up and the lady smoking a cigarette in the terrace. And I said, Mrs. O'Neill, this is Randy. We had an appointment. I said, oh, yeah. And I said, remember, I spoke to your husband over the phone. You had met somebody from Lincoln Heritage And I, you know, I know 100% our product is a much better, much less expensive. Oh yeah, let me go ahead and get them. So they had three fucking small dogs that were going crazy. And I said, it's okay. We can talk out here. Well, the guy came out holding his stomach, didn't have a shirt on, had these fucking short shorts on, and said, like, you know, Randy, I was going to call you. I'm not feeling good. I got a stomach ache. In fact, he ran into the bathroom, went out. I said, that's fine. You know what? I could come back in 15 minutes. Take care of yourself. Today, Randy, I want to make a different appointment, one that, you know, I feel a lot better. I said, that might be a good idea. I said, well, do you mind if I talk to your wife a little bit? And he said, no, go ahead. So she was listening to that. She right away put up her hand to my face and said, I'd rather not talk about this. He's the one that makes decisions about it. I said, well, I totally understand. I'm sorry to put you in that place, but I just want to go over my product right away with you. So when we are done here, you can talk to your husband what a better product that we have. Well, she was standing up and tapping her feet on the deck. And I was still talking to her, trying to be nice, playing the game, giving her all the information. I said, hey, you know what? You're probably not interested in this. She said, you know, Randy, you're 100% right. I do not want this. I do not believe in this shit, blah, blah, blah. And she's 12 years younger than he is. And I said, I can understand that. But I said, for the love of Jesus, he is doing this for you. Something happens to him, this amount of money is going to be here for you. And she put her hand out and whatnot. I said, hey, let me just leave the material with you. You can go over that with your husband. When he's sick, and I said, maybe Saturday, because I have some makeup appointments, I'll drop by here Saturday to talk to him. Anyways, that was my six appointments. There you go.
So are you following up with that couple on Saturday then or not?
Oh, fuck yeah. Yes, I am. I'm going to make it a fucking point to sell them, too.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing all that. I mean, I think it helps the guys to hear. I mean, Randy's an extremely successful agent. Probably did close to 200,000 last year. So I think it helps guys to hear that there's bad days, you know, when you think you got everything aligned, you got six appointments and they just all head off in the wrong direction. So, you know, no matter how successful you are and how much business you're writing, there's always bad days. So, and like I said, I know that's helpful for guys to hear that from somebody that's very successful. So, I'll kind of wrap things up here. I know we're pushing up on an hour, but I like this. I mean, this is, in my opinion, the most productive conference calls we have is when you guys contribute and share with each other, because it's something that everybody can learn from. So a couple things. Don't forget about the two contests that are going on right now, Security National Life and AmeriCo, both, you know, extra cash based on the business you submit. Both those flyers are posted on our website if you want to look at them again. I'm sure you get emails on them constantly, though. Something I kind of want to touch on was the carrier trips, the sales incentive trips. If you guys have never been on an insurance company-sponsored incentive trip, make it a goal to get it done, because it's awesome. I mean, I've been on trips with probably seven different carriers, eight different carriers, and they're all great. I mean, couldn't ask for anything better. Rural Neighbors trip that they just announced, that's for this year, Jacksonville, Wyoming, $80,000 to qualify. You got until December 31st to get it done. Security National Lives is actually finishing up their qualification. It was $80,000, and you have 14 months to do it, and it wraps up May 1st, I think, something like that. So, AmeriCo just finished theirs for Hawaii. They'll announce a new one here shortly. That'll run through, they're always 18 months, so that'll run through next spring, or excuse me, through fall of 18 when they announce that. But again, if you've never been on one, make it a goal to do it. And if you try to have somebody as your primary carrier that you're going to whenever, as long as the situation fits, they're not that hard to do. So it's definitely an experience that everybody should have. Other than that, don't forget about our lead incentive program. I know some of you guys on here have earned lead credits going into February. Lisa will have all those numbers punched up by the end of the day. So when we get leads out today, you'll be able to have those on there. But if you're not doing it already. Some of you guys are just right on the fringe to where if you do another app or so, you'd qualify for a lead credit for the next 4 weeks. So something that can definitely help put cash back in your pocket and lessen what's going on. Same thing with the Security National Life lead credit. If you're writing business there, again, you can access that. We can put that towards your lead program with us. So getting that contract actually pays another 10% in lead credit. So make sure you take advantage of it. So other than that, anybody else have any questions, anything they want to cover? All right. Well, we'll wrap things up. Hope you guys all have a great weekend. We're always available again on that AIG product. If you're interested in that, drop me an email or Lisa or either one, and we'll get that out to you. Other than that, hope you have a great weekend and good luck to you next week. Take care.
Thanks, Matt.